Father, I ask that you would just quicken our hearts to hear from you. And somehow you would touch us in a way that radically changes our lives, that we could bring you glory and honor individually and corporately as your church. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't remember the last time I spoke. I know I spoke at the 75th celebration. And the word the Lord gave me there hasn't escaped me, so somehow it'll be intertwined in this. But Proverbs 29, verse 18, says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. In the Amplified Classic, it says it this way: where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Now, I believe we're in a society that we see people perishing, and I believe it has crept into the church to some degree. But I don't want that to be said of this church. So I want you to understand vision. I want you to understand purpose, and I want you to understand priority. Why? Because freedom needs vision. Freedom needs purpose. Freedom needs priority. Otherwise, freedom is chaos. And you have not been called to chaos, but you've been called to freedom. So I want you to consider this morning. Why are you here? Consider why a church service. Consider, is there anything more? Or is this all there is? Just consider it. Because I believe the Lord has established you as a child of God. He has established us as a house of God for a purpose, for his vision to be fulfilled in your life, in this house, in this community, in the world, until he returns. But if we don't understand how we fit within that vision, we use our freedom for the wrong things. We misplace our priority. And the church and our own lives aren't moved forward in him. I want to talk about a little story, and you'll understand the point. I'm going to paraphrase the story because otherwise I'd be reading a few chapters. Now, Hannah wanted a baby, right? And she was so bold to pray in an indiscernible manner that caused the priest, Eli, to think this woman's drunk, right? But she talked to him, and he blessed her, and she had a child, right? Samuel. And she gave Samuel to the Lord. So we pick it up in 1 Samuel 2:11. It says, then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Thought that was an interesting thing, that she gave him up to the Lord to serve the Lord. I don't know what you serve today. I'm not with you 24/7. Consider it. 1 Samuel 2:18, as we go on. Now, Eli's sons were awful, and all kinds of awful stuff was going on in the house of God. But I don't want to talk about the awful stuff. I want to talk about what God's vision is for this house. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. And in verse 21, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. I want you to understand, we changed the name of this establishment to the Encounter because that's what you're to have when you come here. I said at the 75th anniversary, we've gone through this season about being focused on the presence of the Lord. How many of you know every time you gather, you should be focused on the presence of the Lord? We are here to be in the presence of the Lord together. I answered part of the question, why are you here? But it's only part of it, because there's more. And what does it do? It caused Samuel to grow. Now, yes, he was a child and he was growing into a man. But no, it caused him to grow. What will happen in your life if you are faithful to your calling to be here in his presence is you will grow. Continue on, verse 26. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. I don't know if you realize it, but when you're faithful to the things God's called you to, you grow in favor with him. You grow in stature with him. And the world notices. When the Lord has favor on your life because you're doing what you're called to do, the world will notice. If the world isn't noticing, focus on his presence and let him grow you. Continuing on, verse 35, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. See, you are here to minister to the Lord. First and foremost, you are here to focus on his presence. You are here to bring his presence with you. You are here to be a minister to the Lord. Word minister, sharath, means to attend to or worship, to contribute to minister unto, serve, or wait upon. It is an active, personal service rendered to a superior. I think he qualifies. There is none above him. It stresses loyal attendance and hands-on ministry. I can't minister unto the Lord for you. I can minister unto the Lord with you. First Samuel 3:1 says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And in verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, I don't know the time lag before, by the time we started in chapter 2, verse 1, to where we are in chapter 3, verse 7. But how many people are sitting in church and they don't know the Lord? I know all the Lord. I know I've known a lot of people that couldn't answer that question or even consider the question of why they're here. Well, I'm just supposed to be. No, that's what I do. But they've never heard the Lord speak to them. They don't even know there's such a thing as a relationship with the Father. See, Samuel didn't know the Lord, but what did he do? He was faithful to minister to the Lord. Now you think, why would I do that? Because it'll grow you up. What am I saying? I'm saying do what you're called to do in obedience to God until he shows up in your life, because when he shows up in your life, you're going to be leaps and bounds beyond walking on the water, because that's what he's called you to do. But you'll never get to leaps and beyond unless you're faithful to what he's called you to do, minister to the Lord. I know a lot of people that struggle, and they say, like, oh, it's a sacrifice to praise him. I just do it because I know I'm supposed to. I do it because I know he's worthy. But it's a struggle for you. It's always a sacrifice. Great, let it be a sacrifice. Why? Because that's, you know, he says to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And then you'll know what he wants. My paraphrase. You want to know what the will of the Lord is for your life today? Minister unto the Lord. I don't feel him. I don't care. You know, I love feeling the Lord. Used to come to prayer and people would have all this kind of experience and just be all oohing and ah and all these other things. And I'm like, okay. And they can't get up and they're just drunk in the presence of the Lord. And I think that's great, but I'm not feeling a thing. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In God's time, he's visited me plenty of times. He's revealed his word, and that's the only thing that matters, to keep pressing on, to keep ministering to the Lord until his time and his word will be revealed into you, through you, so you can bring his word to somebody that needs to hear it. And if you don't tarry in those times, if you don't keep pressing on, if you don't keep doing the will of the Father, if you don't keep seeking after him, if you don't pursue him, that person may never hear, because you didn't hold out till he spoke to you what to say to that person. We're called to minister to the Lord. But there's so much more. Before he knew the Lord, before the Lord was speaking, before the Lord was revealing himself, Samuel ministered to the Lord. The result, verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel. I don't know, how many want the Lord to be with you when you leave today? As he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. You want power in your life? Have the Lord with you, and none of your words fall to the ground. You want power in your life? Have God execute everything you say. You know he'll do that if you say things according to his will. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And in chapter 4, verse 1, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. I love what this paints, if you caught it. Focusing on his presence, ministering to the Lord, results in the Lord ministering to the community. So you're here to minister to the Lord, and you're here to minister to one another. Romans 1, verse 11. Says, I long to see you. I'll pause there. See, one of the things I've told people that have left the church before, and I mean left church, not gone somewhere else, just left church. I said, you won't ever see me, because this was our place of connection. This was a place I could say, hey, Sandy, what are you doing later? I want to get with you on Wednesday night. Do you have time for supper? If I don't see her, I'm not going to make that connection. And you say, well, you could call her. Yeah, but you know what seeing does? It prompts something in my heart. Oh, the Lord says, oh, you know what? Get with Sandy. Why? Just get with Sandy. Now, I have a real concern, and we'll talk about it a little later, of what has happened in society, especially since COVID. And it's bled into the church, and it needs to end today, at least in this house. Because there's more. And there's going to be more required of you. And if God's placed you here, it's time to get out of the boat and just do the things God's with. 24/7, I say. God wants to move 24/7. He's not given all of this for a two-hour service. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. See, the Word of God says, when we gather, everyone has. Okay? Now, no, not everyone gets the mic. Now, I'll just make that clear. No, but you know what? You have something that we all need. You might be the one person that touches the one person over there, and that's exactly what they needed. And guess what? When you see them, when you can touch them, you can impart something to them that you benefit from. You know how good and pleasing it is inside when you know you've done the will of God? Oh. And then when you hear about what God's done in somebody's life and you thought, wow, that was so hard for me to do, but I did it, and look what you did. You know, in spite of my resistance and hesitancy, look what you did, God. That's awesome. And I got to play a part in it. You're called to minister to others. It takes seeing one another. You know, society has lost the ability to relate. We are not going to lose the ability to relate here. We need to throw away cell phones. We're going to throw away cell phones. If we need to get rid of the internet, all this stuff is nonsense to me. There's nothing like being face to face with somebody. I married my wife. Guess what? It wasn't texting and phone calls and all those things. There's a time of face to face relationship. Absent that, there ain't no marriage. I didn't marry her to see her once a week for 2 hours. I didn't. I didn't marry her to be alone. God didn't place you in this church for you to be alone. He put you in this church for you to be part of the vision that he's called this house to. And you have a unique vision and purpose and priority within it to discover with others. You have something to contribute. You get to minister to others. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." You want a priority in life? Look at it. There's your priority. Him, then these, your family, then others. I like this phrase, therefore, as we have opportunity. I'm really challenged in my spirit as a leader in this house that we have not given you enough opportunity. We give you 2 hours on a Sunday morning and very little other time to focus on his presence to the point that you're so overflowing in his presence, it spills out on others. I love the ones that have taken their own initiative to have fellowship and to minister to one another. But we need to do more. I'm just telling you, I feel in my spirit, there, with the 75th anniversary, I talked about seasons and the seasons of community that I grew up with, and it was awesome. I was literally up at church every day of the week. Some of it was just basketball. You know what good fellowship takes place in fun? If you don't, you'll learn when you're in heaven. Heaven's going to be fun. Joy unspeakable. But it was just an active church. They longed to be together. We were together all the time. And then there was a season of his presence, and it was just total focus on God. And you know, Freedom can be messy. But I believe there's this season where they're non-competing and you find his presence and you find each other and it overflows so much that it's like, oh, let's go out to the park and witness and let's go out and see God do healings and miracles. Let's just walk through the graves and see if the dead rise. No, there's a time coming and it's coming soon. Ephesians 4, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does his part. There's something for you to do that grows me, that builds me, that encourages me, that I need. That's why you're here. You have purpose. He has a vision for you. He has priority for your life. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. Quit lying to yourself. You have something that God has deposited in you for you to use that will bless others. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Quit waiting for tomorrow. You have opportunity today to encourage the person next to you. Don't let it slip away. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. I want to pause there. Thirsty. You know, meeting together requires something. It requires you giving up something else. And we're going to get back to having more stuff going on. I'm just telling you. And it's going to require you to be here. And I want you to consider that. I want you to consider why you're here and what God's calling you to. Because the Bible says if you'll lose your life, you'll gain it. And I think in a lot of ways, too many of us hold on to our own life and try to steer it. And I know God's laying things on people's hearts. And I've heard some of the biggest complaints of, no, we need to get together more often, and we need to fellowship, and then we plan something, and 10% of the people show up. So I can tell you where I'm at. As a leader in this house, if any one of the leaders stand up and say we're doing something, you should consider that's a requirement of you being there. Otherwise, why do you have a covenant in this house? You say, that's harsh. It's really not. It's really not. It's what God's called us to. It should be an encouragement. Wow, God's stirring something up in leadership. God's giving them vision for me to be a part of. God's inviting me to be a part of something. I think there's a story in the Bible that talks about a marriage feast, and people are invited, and half of them like don't show up. You know, I have visited places where they're focused on God and they had to lock people out because it got filled and people were standing in line for hours. There's a day coming. You'll wish you'd taken advantage of every opportunity God has given you to focus on him and focus on one another. I'm telling you, God's doing something. Things don't stir in me just for happenstance. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Or is he that far off? So here's what I believe. It requires something. You being here requires something. Yes, your purpose is to minister to the Lord, and to minister to one another, to be equipped, to be given opportunity. You know, if everybody was allowed to have the mic that had a word they could share today, you would have to be willing to be here well into the sleep time. I get to hear words all the time. People come to me, literally, God's speaking to people. But we only have an opportunity that's like 2 hours long. There has to be more opportunity. How can we raise you up in your natural gifting of teacher if you can't be teaching? Where's Sunday school? Where's these classes? Where are these things? I'm telling you, things are coming. And it's going to take a sacrifice. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It is going to require devotion. When 36 years ago, right around now, I met this girl at camp. And I had resolved in my life that I didn't want any relationship. I was 25. I could work, you know, 10, 15 years, save, and do what I wanted. And I didn't want a relationship. And I met this girl, name was Lori. And I came back and I drove my friend nuts day in and day out at work talking about this girl. To the point that he got on the phone, called her and said, do something with this guy. You know. So to make a long story short, she married me. I like quit my job. I moved out to California. I just wanted to be with her. We'd talk on the phone. I wouldn't let her hang up. I just wanted to hear her breathe. Okay? No, literally. What am I saying? My priorities changed. Nothing else in my life changed other than my priorities. So when people say, I can't do all these things, baloney. Quit deceiving yourself. If God captures your heart, and God is doing things, God will give you the time to do things and take care of everything else. Matter of fact, you'll find out that 24 hours is going to be like 48. Honestly, you're like, I got so much more done than I ever got done. And I did so much more. And I was part of this and I was part of that. And God does some wonderful things. It requires devotion. Acts 2:42, start of the New Testament church. They devoted themselves. I can't devote for you. I can only devote for me. I can only commit for me. You have to decide what you're going to be devoted to. And I'm going to say this in the most encouraging way I can. I really do love you guys. Get a hold of what God's doing. Get a hold of what God's saying. Get a hold of his vision. Get a hold of his plans. Get a hold of his purposes. And be devoted to them. Be devoted to them. We got building plans out there. Be devoted to what God's speaking. Trust one another. Trust the leaders. Trust the elders. Trust God. Be devoted to it. If there's an announcement about a special meeting, be devoted to it. Consider, why are you here? why just a short church service? I'd like you to stand. See, when we minister to the Lord, when we focus on Him, He turns our hearts toward one another. When we minister to one another, the Lord builds His church. And at the end of Acts it says, and He added to their numbers daily. We just need to be devoted. What lies ahead will require devotion. Fulfillment of the Lord's division, or your Lord's vision, fulfillment of His vision in your life, and in your life, and in your life, in your life, and in our corporate life, is dependent upon your devotion. So I'm asking us today to be devoted and to search your heart. And sometimes you just do what you're supposed to do because that's what you're called to do until He shows up in a way you couldn't even imagine. Don't wait for a feeling. Choose this day whom you're going to minister to. So I'd like us to end this way. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call us up for communion. But that's not going to be the end of it. I'm going to call the worship team back up. And I want us to purposely focus on Him, minister to the Lord. And after that song, I want us to purposely minister to one another. If there's needs in the house, I want you to get prayed for. Otherwise, I want you to find somebody to bless, to encourage. Because I'm telling you, things are going to be happening. God is doing stuff. And you're going to want to be part of it. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Even more so, God, I thank You for Your people that You've called according to Your plans and Your purpose. And I thank You that what You've called, You will establish. You will do, You will fulfill. And I thank You for the opportunity to be part of it. There's nothing better than to be part of what You want to do in our lives, God. I thank You for that. I bless Your people with Your presence. I bless Your people with awareness of Your presence. I bless them with ears to hear Your voice. Father, I bless their lives. May it be fruitful for You. May they be glorified. May You receive glory in all that they say and do. And I thank You for what You're doing in this house, Father. I ask that You knit our hearts together in a way that they've never been knit before. That we would unite for Your plans, for Your purposes to be fulfilled in this place. And I thank You for it. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please come for communion.